is Health and Services versus the Department of Health.
Good morning. Peter Ehrlichman. I'd like to reserve 5 for rebuttal and answering the court's questions. This is a case where the Department of Health turned its back on a 35 years of consistent application using a 12-step bed need methodology to determine the need prong under a certificate of need in favor of its sister state institution, the University of Washington Medical Center, which I'll call UW this morning, favoring it with rule-breaking treatment, permitting the issuance of 79 additional beds on top of the 450 that they've already got without the showing of need and without satisfying the other requirements under the CN laws, including cost containment and financial feasibility. And for that reason and other reasons set forth in our papers, we do not believe the Department of Health has acted in a manner that justifies deference. With respect to determining need, I want to spend a couple of minutes just chatting about that, and then we'll go to the failure to properly consider capital costs. With respect to need, the decision to approve the UW application was made by a senior official within the department who overruled the analysts whose job it was to spend a year analyzing the application.
If the criteria was an appropriate criteria, what about that direction to the analyst to use it or to apply it instead of what he used is illegal?
In fact, and surprisingly, the analyst was never directed to use that criteria. And if you look at the state's evaluation, which appears in the record at the very beginning of the record, AR1, I believe, there's no mention of that criteria 2, any place in the evaluation. There was no testimony put on at the adjudicative hearing by the Department of Health supporting criteria 2. Nowhere is it mentioned until after the adjudicative hearing when we got an interim or preliminary order. And that's the first time that we've ever seen
that. My question is it an illegality? I mean, this is a supervisor, in essence, saying, well, whether you did your work right or wrong under those criteria, I think different criteria apply. Is that just an ordinary review process that had a, as you would describe, a surprising result, or is it illegal?
Well, illegal is a big word, but I would use words arbitrary and capricious, because it is the epitome of capriciousness to proceed in an unreasoning manner without regard to the attending facts. And, of course, I'm quoting from Children's versus DOH. And there, the senior official never had looked at the application, had never looked at any of the documentation supplied by my client or the University of Washington, hadn't looked at any of the public comments. He conceded all of this both in his testimony and deposition and at the hearing. He had not looked at any of that when he made the determination and direction to the analyst to change no to yes. And from that point on, the department did everything it could in the interim order and in the final order to support that decision without there being substantial evidence to do so.
So the objection is really that the supervisor prejudged the application and directed an analysis to an outcome, not an independent analysis.
The decision to support the University of Washington's application without regard to the underlying facts and without regard to a fair application of what had been the consistent, perpetual, unbroken use of the 12-step need methodology was begun by the senior official but continued through the hearing. And this is really the crux of our argument with respect to this improper application of the law.
And by improper application of the law, you're talking about using Criterion 2.
Yes, ma'am. And never has the department in its history applied Criteria 2, and they haven't shown you any decisions where they have done so. And we've asked them to show up any place where they've applied Criteria 2. The first time that Criteria 2 was ever adopted by the department was in the order after the adjudicative hearing. And the prejudice to my client is we spent a ton of time, in the adjudicative process focused on the 12-step need methodology. They point to the fact that the University of Washington raised it obliquely in its application and again in response to a second screening question, but that doesn't translate to the department.
Do you want to go into your rebuttal?
It's amazing how fast 5 minutes is. I'd better save it.
Could we have an amendment and expand this a little bit?
May it please the court, I'm Jeff Ryman representing the University of Washington Medical Center. With me at council table is Assistant Attorney General Richard McCartan representing the Department of Health.
Are you going to divide your time because you both only have 10?
No, I'm going to consume the entire 10 minutes.
You're going to take the entire 10 minutes, okay.
So why wasn't it inappropriate to prejudge and direct a different outcome prior to running an analysis, even if the criteria was appropriate?
Well, number one, Your Honor, I don't even think you get to that issue given the standard of review that we're...
Well, let's assume we want to get to it because you raised it.
Okay. I think that, but it
did,
was...
Did, in fact, the supervisor say, no, that's the wrong result, go approve it, and use this criteria to do it?
No. No, what the supervisor testified to is that I spoke to the analyst, I wanted to find out why it was that the University of Washington Medical Center was making this application for 79 beds when the numeric need methodology does not indicate a need for that full amount of beds. So he spent, as he testified, a few hours meeting with the analyst to talk about what is the circumstance that the University of Washington is justifying this need. And they went through the high occupancy rate in the ICU beds, the fact that 89% of the university's patient days come from patients outside of the planning area, and that only 11% are coming from the planning area where the numeric need methodology is focused on.
So why don't you just leave the University of Washington out of the planning area calculation altogether then?
Well, state health plan, there is no WAC on this, or it's RCW. The state health plan says you look at planning areas, at least initially. And then, and under Criterion 2, recognizes there are planning areas that are different than the ordinary planning area.
And we're here because a competitor doesn't like the application of this criteria to this hospital in their planning area.
Well, it's not their planning area, actually.
They're
from other
planning areas.
Well, one of the hospitals, the Ballard Hospital, is licensed under the Swedish Cherry Hill license.
Right?
So do you agree that this criterion has never been used before?
I don't agree with that entirely. As we indicated in our brief, the department has applied a statewide assessments of the need of the population to be served when it comes to pediatric children's hospitals that, like the University of Washington Medical Center, derive most of their patient days from a statewide population base rather than a local hospital plan.
But it's an exception that's been rarely invoked. So it's been invoked the one time, and now it's invoked in this context. And it was only invoked after there was a determination that the University of Washington did not meet the criterion that had typically been applied. And so then there was the decision to look at Criterion 2. Is that correct?
No, it's not exactly correct. It's pretty close.
Well, what's not correct about it?
The timing of it, it wasn't that the University of Washington Medical Center was saying, hey, there's no need here. They were arguing under both the numeric methodology and criteria two.
From the beginning?
From the very beginning.
What we've heard is it was only obliquely referred to.
That's just incorrect. The record reflects quite plainly that the application quotes criteria two. And then discusses how it fits in this context.
And that's because under if you hadn't used criterion two, then the decision to deny the request would have been upheld.
Not necessarily. In hindsight, that turns out that you're right. That was the presiding officer's determination that need under the numeric methodology did not fully meet the 79 beds.
Well, and that was the initial decision of the department, too.
Yes.
So it's not just hindsight. It was at the time.
Well, I'm speaking hindsight from the perspective of the University of Washington. When they're making their application, they're applying and arguing both ways of proving
it. Well, as I remember the record, the University of Washington went through different scenarios, and you didn't meet the need under any of them.
Well, we came pretty close.
You came close, but you didn't.
And the standard, actually, though, just to be clear on that, Your Honor, though, is that the department doesn't expect. I mean, this is a forecast. It's not a precision mathematical instrument. And the department historically has approved applications in other contexts where the numeric need isn't precisely met on the day, but it's close. Yeah. I mean, healthcare planning may dependent on future projections. It's not going to
be. So what's the authority to look to the state healthcare plan that had been sunsetted for so long?
We cited the court to the WAC regulations that make clear that, and it's WAC 246-310-200, and I don't remember the subsection off the top of my head, but in any event, what the regulations state is that if there are not standards present in either statute or regulation, it is appropriate for the Department of Health to look at well-recognized standards developed by experts in the area. And that is what the state health plan is and has historically been used for.
Well, it hasn't historically been used. You cited one instance.
Well,
since it sunset.
The numeric methodology that Providence advocates for is in the state health plan, too. They're both are set forth as two alternative ways of determining need that the drafters of the state health plan approved by the governor determined would be alternative methodologies for arriving at one of the four criteria for approval of the certificate of need, specifically the need criteria.
It was the 12-step adopted in the WAC subsequent to the sunset?
No. It was only in the state health plan.
Now, the case law suggests there really ought to be notice to applicants so that they understand what they're applying to, and it's a fairness notion, and shouldn't that be true for the non-applicant competitors as well to know what the rules are going to be when an application is submitted?
Yeah, I think that's a fair request. And in this case, that was met. I mean, this whole process is initiated by an application. UW Medical Center submits its application, notifies all concerned. We are arguing that criteria two is one of two ways we believe need is established in this case.
And where is it in that application that you specifically say that?
I can get you that site, Your Honor, but candidly, I don't have that off the top of my head. The administrative record begins on...
Well, we know it's a long administrative record, and I looked at the application, and I didn't see anything that jumped out about criterion two.
It begins on administrative record page 3509, and that is the application. Starts right there. So it would be in that early part of the application, and if you look closely, you will see that criterion two is cited and quoted in the initial application. Providence then gets the chance.
And that's made available to the objectors prior to the hearing?
It's made available to them from the outset, yeah, well before the hearing. And then they get a chance to make public comments in response to that application. In Providence's public comments, they acknowledge that UWMC is seeking approval under criteria two and go a step further and say, yeah, that could be appropriate to use criterion two in some cases. We don't believe it is appropriate in this case. That became a topic of the administrative hearing later, those divergent points of view. So the idea that there was, this came as a surprise to anybody is readily dispelled by just reviewing Providence's public comments before the hearing, where they point out that, yeah, this could be appropriately used in some cases, but we don't think it should be used here. There is another issue on this dealing with the financial feasibility. I have about 30 seconds left if there are some questions on that.
Well, the regs and the statute contemplate that you're not supposed to break up project applications to get around certificate of need thresholds, but here is it being done to get around the cost analysis on whether or not the costs of the care to be provided are reasonable?
No, and the reason why is that the certificate of need process only looks at certain types of projects, and in this particular case, the University of Washington Medical Center, 4 years before they apply for these beds, asked for a determination of reviewability of whether the certificate of need laws applied to building the tower, including the $34 million cost portion. And they said no, as has been the history of the department, that that is not a CN reviewable activity.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Five minutes does not permit me the luxury of filling out my argument on why what you've heard is inaccurate, but let me cite you to a couple places in the record, and I would ask you to take a peek at it because it goes to the heart of the questions that you've been asking. One is the Valley Medical Center opinion issued by the Department of Health 7 months before this application was filed. And in that, which is at 2375 of the record, this state says, both the program and applicants have consistently followed the state health plan bed need methodology. The predictability afforded by consistent use of the state health plan methodology argues for its continued use in measuring acute care bed need methodology. I ask you to look at 2297, also written by the DOH, where they lay out the history of this bed need methodology. It predated the plan, it was in the plan, and it's been continued after the plan. That is not dependent upon the existence of the health plan. It is the way that the department has assessed need throughout its entire history prior to this moment in time. So you asked about the pediatrics. The pediatric decision that he's talking about did not use or cite to criterion two. It instead looked at a broader population. It defined population served or to be served to be statewide in the case of specialized pediatric services. It did not rely upon criteria two. There is no opinion. There is no decision by the Department of Health in its history that has cited criteria two. The fact that...
Well, assume that's true. There is in the record a statement from Providence that says, while the department has some latitude in evaluating other indicators of need in unique applications, we don't believe the application warrants special consideration since it's not unique. Isn't that a recognition that the department could use criterion two, assuming they'd never used it before?
That sentence has been trotted out by the
that's why I'm
respondents.
Asking you about it.
Okay, good. No, we do not agree that that says that the individual institution's needs are paramount And the rest of the community's needs as reflected in the planning area can be ignored. But that's what criteria two would do. It would focus on whether or not the UW needs these beds.
Right.
Regardless of the methodology that has always been used, which looks at the population to be served and has consistently, perpetually defined population to be served as planning area population. That's why there are 52 planning areas for this state. Here's another place where the department could have said to us early in the process, we're going to rely on a brand new standard.
And do you dispute, because we just heard that their application definitively cites criterion two and says this is
that's a red herring.
Basis.
We don't disagree, and that's a red herring.
Why?
Because WAC 246, 310, 200, 2C says, in the absence of an applicant's request under this subsection, the department shall identify the criteria and standards it will use during the screening of a certificate of need application.
So even
in other
though
words,
they
way back
requested,
when,
even though they put it in their application?
No, exactly. Whether or not the University of Washington said what's really going to determine this is that the sky is blue
mm-hmm.
on the day that the application was filed, that's irrelevant. What's important is did the department announce a new standard so that everybody, the community to be affected as well as the applicant, could address that new standard. If you had, in fact, and our briefing says this, if you look at the actual standards of Criteria 2, there is not substantial evidence to support the finding that Criteria 2 was met.
No,
last
you do
point.
Go through that. So did the department timely notify you they were going to use Criteria 2?
No. They did in the final hearing after the adjudication, after the trial, they wrote it. That was the first time that it had ever been cited to us. Last point, the actual capital costs were not considered by the department. The decision that this met financial feasibility and cost containment is not supported by substantial evidence. I look to 4765 and 7335. Their financial analyst, Rick Ordos, did not use $104 million, which are the true capital costs. He, in fact, based his opinion on $70 million, and that's what the department said at the very beginning of its decision in November of 2013, 0017. So there's no substantial evidence to base that determination either. Thanks for your patience.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.